establishing a whole new way of life, we need to look again and remind ourselves what we're talking about when we say wholeness. First of all, we're talking about the fact that God designed us as a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit. Because we're type of a Trinity type of issue, that we're interwoven this way, we have to make sure we understand how the connection between all three parts are there. Every part of our spiritual life affects our physical life, and our physical life affects our spiritual life. And what happens in our soul affects both spirit and body. And so everything's interrelated. And so if we can understand how this develops in partition and then how it connects together, we can improve our lifestyles. We can enjoy God's blessing. So as we think of that again, we want to today focus on the body, our physical body. In the book of 3 John, in verse 2, we read a simple statement that John wrote to the church as he was writing a letter to them, as he introduced himself to them. He said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Now, we know spiritually that we prosper because of Jesus Christ. As he's given us eternal life, he has caused us to have a blessing beyond what we can ever compare for all eternity. But notice John says, "I also am interested that you prosper in all, in all things, including your health." Now, this is where, again, the charismatics jump in and say, "See, everybody should get a twang on the head and get healed for everything." And they're looking in terms of supernatural miracles where they can slap people on the head and everybody bounces up from all kinds of diseases with a miracle, neglecting the issues that have been founded all the way through the entire Bible. That is not the way God has established things for the whole content of history of mankind. Instead, God did do those things. We have instances from the old and new where he intervened and did miraculously override disease and give healing to people that were either sick or dying. But he also had a more established pattern. And as Christians have begun to discover God's principles of the Old Testament, we are finding that God likes preventative medicine far more than going through healing people and having to deal with them when they're on the deathbed. He has a far greater program that he established, and it's illustrated in how he dealt with Israel, who was just as ignorant as anybody else in that day. They were primitive in their science. They did not understand the concepts. So God established inside religious commands what would protect them, because he knew they couldn't understand the scientific and mathematical reasons behind things. It took centuries and past centuries before we even understood within the last couple hundred years what germs were. All of mankind, for all its history, didn't understand any of these things. We're just barely breaking the surface now in our understanding medically. Yet God just said, "Israel, if you will hear me and obey my voice, I'm going to protect you. Just take my word for it." Now, you know how Americans hate that. We don't want to take anybody's word for anything. We want to be explained to all the way through everything that's there, and then we'll decide whether we're going to do it. And in fact, that's a downfall for us in many ways when we talk about spiritually. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, I'm going to give you kind of a break into a picture of a whole section of God explaining to Israel how he wants them to respond to them. Now, in Deuteronomy 5, it's the parallel content to Exodus 20 that talks about the Ten Commandments. After he gives the commandments, he continues on talking in chapter 6 about the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The same thing that Jesus taught when he got into Matthew chapter 22. He began to tell them the greatest command was to love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. When we get to chapter 7, I want you to stop and we're going to read that portion of Scripture to kind of see how this connects with everything we've talked about. His commands were dealing with morality. His commands for his love, to love God, were in chapter 6 were nothing more than exercising the intent of the first couple commands of the Ten Commandments as he told them how to love God with all their heart. Now look at chapter 7, verse 1. "When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me. Notice when he gives this command of some people want to call it interracial marriage. Notice it has nothing to do with the color of your skin here. Notice what he's concerned with. It's interreligious marriage is what he's worried about. He's telling him not to marry someone that's going to take him away to serve paganism. Don't be caught up into racial prejudice here. This is not what it's talking about at all. Now, it goes on to say that you shall not give your daughter, their sons, so forth, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Now, remember, religion always goes to the core of a person, but affects everything about what they think, do, and act, isn't it? Cultures that are mixed with a certain religion shows their relationship in the way they have a lifestyle. Say, for example, the Hindus. They have a belief that nothing really matters of life and everything's an illusion and so forth. And so when you go to India, they let dead people lay in the middle of the streets and have no respect for life. They worship cows and let people starve. They do everything bizarre because everything is based on their religion, which affects all their culture. It's no different with Christianity or serving God as the Jews had. Everything of what they believe in religion is going to affect how they live their lives. This is why you have to see the wholeness or the whole picture again. Notice what it says as he goes on here. Thus, verse 5, thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. What a privilege for them to have. God sovereignly picked them to be a special people, that he was going to give them all the stuff that nobody else was going to get. He was going to pour into their lives wisdom that we never would get unless we had some kind of connection with these folks. He gave them such magnificent life that no other humans on the earth at that time were able to have. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the other people, for you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Underline that part. Who love him and keep his commandments. Notice he gives them the blessings, the mercy for those who keep his commandments and love him. Verse 10, and he repays those who hate him to their face and to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. In other words, the cost of hating God won't wait till judgment day. What he's saying is to their face, they will receive recompense for rejecting God's wisdom and not obeying his commands. They will suffer consequence right now in their face. So we don't understand it that way, but that's what he's saying. All peoples of other generations up through our generation face consequences by not hearing his voice and following his commands. It won't just wait till judgment day. Therefore, in verse 11, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Notice it's not just the Ten Commandments. Once those Ten Commandments were laid as the foundation, he gave statutes and judgments, lifestyle choices and activities and commands and rules to live by that were based on those moral choices of the Ten Commandments. Verse 12, Deuteronomy 7:12. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock, in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness, notice that, and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Notice again, the diseases of culture will not be on Israel, but they're going to be on all the people around them, the pagans who don't listen to God's judgments. And also you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eye shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send a hornet among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beast of the field become too numerous for you. Notice, even in that day, there was so many animals still alive. Humans still didn't control all the planet. There was a huge volume of beasts, and they were still destructive to humans. There were still a lot of animals that would hurt you. And so if they emptied the land out, then they would be in danger of being attacked by all kinds of large beasts. So they had to be aware of that as they dealt with it. So God intentionally did not remove them all out of the land at once to give them time to have a population increase to slowly control the land and be able to hold back wild animals who would harm them. Isn't that amazing? Now, but the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from under earth, heaven. Excuse me. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Anytime God uses the word abomination, he means it's such a destructive, nasty, whether it's a disease or a sin or an action, it's so detestable, you're supposed to so not want it to be there. You don't want it in your house, around your family, anywhere near you in your neighborhoods. You want it away. So if you understand how nasty that is, that's why he uses the term abomination. Don't let it near you. Don't bring in Buddhas into your house for decoration. That's an abomination to bring an idol into your home when you think it's a decoration. It's an idolatrous, wicked thing connected to satanic worship, and it's wrong, and God says, no, don't even bring it near you. You have to be really wise in your thinking for all these issues. Now, when we notice in that context, notice we talked about sin, we talked about paganism and worship, but in the midst of all that, middle of that, he talked about diseases and sickness. Notice that. He brought that right in the middle, that there was something with the Egyptians and their paganism that was destructive, and that wouldn't happen if they broke from that paganism and followed his judgments, his commands. Now, notice that has nothing to do with just Jewish practice. This is not saying that, like we talk about kosher laws. It's not like it just makes you separately different than other people. That was not the intent. He said very carefully, if you listen to my judgments, I will keep you healthy, is what he's saying. Similar to the request that John said for the church, that I wish for you, I pray that you would prosper in all things and be in health. Notice that's the same thing. That's why we don't have to jump up and say it's only talking about faith healing. It's not a supernatural force that means you eat bushes, eat poisons, and God will just make you heal. Drink battery acid, no problem, God will just heal you. That is not the issue here. God will not heal you if you sit around drinking battery acid. You'll find yourself dead because he's not going to protect you that way. That's not what he's talking about. He said his wisdom was in the fact that if you listen to his judgments and follow his ways, you will then be protected. And this is when, if we had the time to go through an entire study of these times of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you'll find that God has a vast storehouse of information giving to Israel. He teaches them everything from how to protect themselves from airborne pathogens, diseases, by covering their foods so that germs don't come upon them. He tells them about washing their hands to get the germs away from them. No civilizations ever washed their hands or covered their foods or anything. You'd go to open markets, flies were crawling on the food. It was nasty. Nobody understood flies. And so these people were dying of diseases all the time. But God breaks into the scene of this and gives them incredible medical information that they didn't even understand. That's why he gave it to them as commands, because again, they wouldn't understand what he was talking about. So he didn't bother. He just said, do it this way and you'll get blessings and you will not have the diseases of Egypt on you. You understand that part? Yes, sir. Good, go do it. But he went through step by step and explained it to them. Back only a couple hundred years ago, well, actually it's been more than a couple now. Let's see, it's been in the 1600s to 1700s in England, in London. People were dying severely between the ages of 3 years old up through 30 years old, constantly on a daily basis. They were dying of all kinds of problems and diseases that could be traced to one thing. They didn't have a clue to how to keep sanitation in their city. In their houses, under the floorboards, sewage was seeping through the floors. They would catch every type of disease. They would sleep on the floor. Most of them were poor, so either on the floor with a blanket, so the sewage was coming up through, touching them all over the place. In their beds, they walked in it. They go out in the street, and it was in the streets. So you slosh in it. Yes, modern Europe, these people died of endless diseases because they didn't know how to take the stuff outside of town and get rid of it. And they were so stupid, a man who rose up to try to help them, who finally understood it, he was basically driven out of his job because the aristocrats said they were wasting money doing things that nobody, no government needed to do. They would take their sewage. He finally got them to take the sewage out of the city and even taught them how to pipe. In fact, all of our sewer systems like that's going in our city right now are based on what he invented back a few hundred years ago. They still follow his method. He determined a 3-inch pipe was enough to get all the junk out of a whole city. And they set up an elaborate thing, but they were so mad at him for wasting money without asking. He was a tyrant to them for forcing them to do these things. They didn't want to cause money. They would leave their dead bodies. When people died, they leave them in their homes for weeks. And so here the people have dead bodies, and then they're starting to rot, and then they try to take them, and pallbearers are carrying them, and literally, this is gross, the fluids of the bodies are running down their hands and their shoulders. Guess who gets sick next? It was an endless sewer of death upon the people only a few hundred years ago in what we think of as civilized countries. It was incredible. They took their, finally he got them, first of all, to take the sewage stuff out. They put it up in cans. They take it and put it on their crops. Guess what happened to their food? Their food was all contaminated. They were literally massacring their civilization. And it wasn't just England, but this is an example from London. Finally, this man got them to stop that. But one thing they wouldn't do, they took it and dumped it in the river. The problem was the Thames River, they dumped it in the front section where it flowed through the city. They drank the water and died more. He couldn't get them to understand to dump it on the other side where it would not go through the city. So their water was contaminated, their food was contaminated, their whole life, their houses stunk. Their streets were full of crud, and they died and died and died of all kinds of diseases. Now, why do I go through all that to make it sickening? Because even England, who was supposed to be a Christian nation at that time, didn't read the simple Bible. God told Israel, I should have looked at the verse. He told them, when you're going to relieve yourself, I think is the way it's worded in one of the versions, take and go outside the camp, dig a trench, and put it in there. Where does our soldiers get all that from? It was right in the Bible for thousands of years. Yet the only people that got the benefit was Israel, because no one, even Christians who had the Bible, wouldn't listen to what it said and suffered severely in cities and nations because they refused to hear the wisdom of God. Slowly but surely, science comes along and proves it, and we listen to science instead of God. Millions of people have died over the centuries who would have lived long lives and blessed God by following His ways because they were believers, but died early because they wouldn't hear practical teaching from the Old Testament of this book. Now, we've gotten smarter with our science, so we've moved ahead in our culture. We still do not listen to basic foundational teachings of Scripture. As we begin to hear it even today, and again, the only reason we're listening now in our day of 2004 is because science is telling us. And then we're going back and saying, oh, we still wait for humans to tell us their wisdom instead of listening to God's wisdom. We've got to stop this as a people. We've got to begin to gain the wisdom of God so we're wiser than our teachers, wiser than our leaders, wiser than those around us, the scientists, because they're already here in the Scripture. And every time I've read and hear these people on TV now, I'm going, oh yeah, that's in the Bible. Oh yeah, that's in the Bible. Finally, I'm getting smart enough to hear it's already there. But boy, what a difference in my life would have been if I would have listened ahead of time. Let me give you some more instructions on this. In Deuteronomy 7:15, remember it said, the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known. Notice that. As they lived in Egypt, they knew those diseases because they were slaves under that system and they did not know the ways of God. This is why God began to teach them after He delivered them out of Egypt through Moses. He then taught them the ways of health. They did not know this before, so they suffered the same pains of agony that Egypt did at that point. Now, the first word sickness comes from a Hebrew word which means anxiety, malady, calamity, grief. Notice that sickness brought a lot of agony to life. The second word used when it says diseases is exactly what we would say, disease. So you got the grief of sickness and disease. He's talking about both aspects here, not just one. Secondly, a guy wrote the Zone Diet. You ever heard of the Zone Diet? That's a big-time book again. It's got millions of copies and so forth. Well, it's interesting. One of the things he mentions in the book is diseases of modern civilization, such as heart attacks and arthritis, first appeared and were routinely reported in the medieval textbooks of medical textbooks of ancient Egypt. The diseases of Egypt, what were they? Well, they know that they were arthritis and heart attacks. Also in the Zone Diet, he mentioned obesity became prevalent. In fact, it is estimated that the ancient Egyptians, with their grain-based diets, had about the same rate of obesity as Americans today. We in America, the century 21, are suffering from the diseases that were back in minus 1400, BC diseases. After all these years, you would think we'd learn something. We got all the science we think we have. We don't have any change in diseases from today as they did 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, same thing. Why? One of the things that they talked about is the fact that they reported it in Egypt. Now notice, that was one of the issues God said, the diseases that Egyptians would have, I'm going to take those away from you. In other words, Israel was not going to have all the trouble with heart attacks. They're not going to suffer all under that arthritis that they had in Egypt. Now you get what I'm saying here? And notice what he said it comes from. Grain-based diets. Now be careful with that, because the Zone Diet guy doesn't understand a lot of other things. He's got a narrow perspective. Biblically, there's more to this. And I'll try to get through to that too a little bit. Also, another book, this man is a Christian, and it's this man here, Dr. Rex Russell, What the Bible Says About Healthy Living. This man is a Bible scholar. He's a doctor, but a scholar, and he understands an entire picture of what we're talking about here. He notes this. First of all, radiographs and autopsies have been performed on the ancient Egyptians that they've been able to deal with. They have found all kinds of diseases the same as they were then as they are in modern America. Again, the same disease. Here's some of the most common found so far as they've discovered is vascular disease resulting in severely calcified arteries. Does that sound familiar to America? Number one, death of America is vascular disease. Same issue. Also, and the other guy agreed, arthritis, tooth decay, infections, cancer, emphysema, tuberculosis, parasites, pneumonia, and obesity are all clearly defined as common diseases of Egypt. Now, are we to understand today that if we follow biblical principles, we won't suffer these diseases? Is that what he's saying? This is what we have to wrestle with and see if it's true. Let me show you a chart of leading deaths in America. Heart disease, number one. Cancer, number two. And then we go down the list, you see the top 10. Of the top 10, you're going to find that there's a mixture of things here, obviously. Notice number 10, HIV. That was in 1990. That might have moved up since then. I don't have a current chart. This is from 14 years ago. Now, Dr. Russell also, you know, as he mentioned here, another point. Look at the quote. Mummified pharaohs often show the most advanced degenerative diseases. Historically, pharaohs and other royalty were the only ones whose diets included large quantities of meat and other delicacies. Now, the kings of the ancients eat the same as normal Americans today. We eat like kings in America is what they're saying. Got to understand what we're the measurement here. The average Egyptian didn't eat that way. We're eating the normal diet of the rich people. No matter who you think, if you say you're not rich in America, you're rich compared to the culture back then. We are eating the same foods they did. Now, further on, we need to decipher the disease from our lifestyle. Here's what research has gone on to explain. The American way of processing, preserving, and polluting habits remove most of the productive and healing factors of God-created food that we eat today. With that, here's some examples of what the scientists and medical researchers have proven. First of all, these got fancy words here, but notice the word toxic in there. Basically, what we're saying is toxic, poisonous things are inside foods that we eat on a regular basis. First one that it gave as an example was red dye number two, which is a good thing. They've been removing it from our culture because it's been proven to cause, and notice when you see the word carcinogen, that means a cancer-causing agent, what it is. It's proved to cause cancer. It's a toxic poison that causes cancer in your body. Red dye was already clearly proven to cause cancer. Number two, the DES, which is a synthetic hormone used in chicken farmers and cattle farms in their food that they feed, is linked to cancer that's found in a woman's cervix. It's proven to cause cancer in females. Look at sodium nitrite that forms a certain thing called nitrosamines, which are potent cancer-causing agents. Now the thing is, all cured meat such as hot dogs, sausage, and bologna are full of it. All of them cause cancer with normal foods you eat on a daily basis for lunch or breakfast. It's built into what we've eaten. Cyclamates and saccharin, artificial sweeteners, cancer-causing agents. And then we go on to this other type of item here. It's in cosmetics and deodorants. Now remember, chemicals soak through your skin. People that are trying to quit smoking, they put on the patch. Women that don't want to take the pill anymore put on the patch. Medicines or chemicals soak through your skin just like they would if you inhale them. You still are soaking in chemicals. And the same token, these cosmetics are soaking through your skin, bringing in cancer-causing toxins into your system if you're not careful with what you're putting on. Cadmium, which is basically an element from the exhaust of cars, from fertilizers, from industrial waste, those have been found concentrated now. After all the use over the years we've had so far, they're finding it in shellfish. Cancer-causing agent is in most shellfish. And remember, and the reason that is, if you understand shellfish, they're bottom feeders. God designed them to clean the water. If you get a fishing tank, a fish tank, and put it in your house, what do you get to put in there? Snails to clean it. What they do, they suck all the poisons out of everything. That's what they're designed for. And then we eat them. You eat poisoned stuff. You just ate poison, you lucky girl. Okay. But anyway, first of all, God designed them to do that. They're cleaners. That's what bottom feeders are. But secondly, because they're bottom feeders, we've so polluted our system, that's why they're finding them in shellfish. That's how prevalent this poison has become in our culture. It's literally filling our waters and our oceans already, and so these kind of animals are full of that poison now because of it. Now, we're also exposed to over 7,600 chemicals in our foods. Many have already been tested, but thousands have not. But all they keep testing, they all are cancer-causing agents. We're really in trouble. A lifestyle choices that we've made is causing many diseases to us. We're killing ourselves. Understand that. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. We are literally killing ourselves. Now, a lot of you can't stop breathing. You can't stop living. So we're going to have to wrestle with certain things. Now, if you move to the Himalayan mountains and live as a hermit, you might do okay. But most of us can't do that. So we have to figure out what we can do. Here's some other things they've proven. Alcohol yields cancers. Now, I never connected cancer with alcohol. But in my research, I've been overwhelmed to see that alcohol yields cancers of the liver, esophagus and mouth, and pancreas. Now, that comes from a medical research. This report comes out all the time. Medical doctors read this on a constant basis. This was just reported from 1985, a number of years ago. Almost 20 years ago, they already knew this was going on. Now, also, everybody knows cigarettes yields lung and bladder cancers. Well, I knew lung cancer. I didn't realize it also caused bladder cancer, but that's definitely been connected. Now, also, here's something you need to be aware of. Fats, hard animal fats, and hydrogenated liquid fats. Now, hydrogenated means cooking oils, tubs of artificial butter, margarine, all of those type, and lard, all those type of things. Those pig, you get them when they're fried. Pork rind, yeah, all that's pure poison fats. Now, those kind of fat, cancer-causing fats, definitely prove it in colon and breast cancers. That's where they've been able to connect everything. Now, again, there's a lot of, I'm just giving you a few examples. It can go on. I could spend many hours showing you this. In fact, it's so overwhelming. The more I've read, the more it scares me to realize how important it is to listen to God's wisdom here. Because we are ignorant. But the point is, ignorance is not good enough. And this I want you to understand. If you're ignorant that if you stick your hand in a trap, will it not snap you because you're ignorant? Or will you get your hand snapped anyway? See, it doesn't matter if you're ignorant. If you don't know that the roof ends and you keep walking, you're still going to, gravity's still going to break your face on the fall, isn't it? It doesn't matter if you're ignorant. You don't get a break because you're ignorant. We have been ignorant, but yet the world around us is learning. And the science is screaming at us to hear. But again, what I'm telling you is we should have already heard this. God already instructs us. I'm going to give you some examples as we go through here. The World Health Organization, over 20 years ago, concluded most cancers were related to lifestyle and environmental factors, and they concluded were potentially preventable. Hear what I'm saying? I have been overwhelmed over the last couple of years. In fact, this is why I began praying about this just a couple of years ago. You know, Nathan Svalaw died at 52 years old of cancer. That shook me up. I was sick at the same time. I thought I was going to die. It was so scary to me. And then I started hearing Mom talking about her friend's cancer. Everywhere I turned, everybody had cancer. And I started praying, God, how can everybody in America have cancer? I don't understand this. Why is everybody dying of cancer? And I don't know if you're like me, but to me, disease was some kind of mysterious thing that jumps on you. You know what I'm saying? No one really knows why the disease gets you, but it just gets you. And so you almost have a 50-50 chance to live through diseases because you don't know why they're there. They just jump on you somehow. I was so ignorant, I couldn't comprehend why people were dying of cancer. And I began the quest of begging God to help me understand cancer and what it was all about. And as I began to understand all this, I began to find much of this is preventable. In fact, the causes, they said, are mostly from natural carcinogens, natural cancer-causing elements. You know what that means? Foods that you eat that have natural cancer-causing agents inside them. And there's foods you've choose to eat that are outside of God's instructions that do cause cancer. They're natural. And they said a lot of it's natural. Also, if you understand, viruses cause cancer. Did you understand that? Viruses can cause cancer. Certain viruses are very clearly causing cancer. Nutritional factors, again, back to what you're eating, has a great impact on your health and what you get cancer or not. Reproductive activity, we know very clearly that people that commit immorality pass on HIV and other diseases. That's not hard to understand. And personal behavior. Personal behavior, the World Health Organization defines personal behavior as hatred, grudges. They're talking about personal activities that, again, all of which the Bible tells you how to not do. They're sinful and to stop doing them. And they have proven that those are also cancer-causing agents. Sin kills you, is what they're saying. Sin kills you with HIV. Sin kills you when you don't follow God's principles and judgments according to the Scripture. Here, this is what I'm finding out. I'm going to go back to my chart again. Notice now I've added a few points. Heart disease, number one, it's been proven that the people that mostly die from heart disease, it comes from animal fat that you eat. Animal fat. That's right. It's from animal fat. Now, guess what the Bible says? Anybody know? God says, do not eat the fat of animals. As clear and as plain as can be. God said, Israel, you can eat these kind of foods, but I'm telling you, don't eat the fat. Instead, you burn the fat to me. Again, he turned it into something good. Because the fat was dangerous, it would harm them. So he said, instead, I want you to offer it to me. I'll take away your diseases. I'll heal your sickness. Burn it to me. I'll take care of it. The picture is very clear. Jesus, by his stripes, we are healed. He took our diseases. But the picture of the Old Testament was burn it to me, and that smoke of it going up to me, I'll absorb it right out of your system. Just don't eat it. Very clearly given. Dr. Russell says number two disease is cancer. He says 70 to 80% caused by food. Food. But again, we have chosen as a culture to not do, listen to God's wisdom. And we're suffering the consequence. I had my gallbladder taken out because I didn't listen to God. Now that I understand the scripture, I should have never had to have that. But I did not hear his voice, didn't understand his word, and suffer. Notice the third one. Again, number one, three, and eight, all related to fat. All have to do with your vascular part of your body. Then go down to, and I marked it on here, that number seven, diabetes, food, white flour, sugars, and delicacies. They have proven that the white flour was invented by Egypt. Egypt invented it. They learned how to take all of the outward value of the food off and leave it white. They're the ones that invented white cake and white bread. And they're the ones that suffered the highest level of heart disease. You take out the value of the normal fiber, which you need, and it takes out the vitamins and minerals that are in it. Mix it together, it's good for you. Take it away, it literally causes diabetes. It causes because the pure calories or the pure carbohydrates are destructive because it raises your insulin levels in your body. If you go through all the science, insulin levels are what destroys your veins or arteries. It's what causes diabetes because the insulin levels are wrong. And to have them right is when you eat correct. But if you eat wrong, your insulin levels are what's destroying your system and causing heart disease and vascular disease and so forth. It's got to do with that insulin. Now, the Zone Diet spends a lot of time explaining that. Very good scientifically way to understand the Bible, even though he doesn't quote the Bible. He makes a lot of good evidence of what he's talking about. It's very clearly backing up Scripture if you know what the Scripture said. Exactly. All the white stuff looks better to our eye, I guess. And maybe the taste. But that's what's taken. So white rice is worthless, same as white bread. All that type of thing takes away the value of what God created it for. So just remember that as basic principles as you eat. A potato is also very careful, though. That's still high in the... A white potato is still like rice. It's very high, dangerous for your insulin. Sweet potatoes are better, lesser amount of insulin problem. But it's still that same thing with insulin. It's just normal. But it's okay for you, but moderation's the issue. Right. Okay. Now, let me give you an example, too, over life expectancy that I found through this research. Ancient Egypt, they have proven that the average lifespan was 30 to 35. Normal lifespan. Now, specialists today have scientifically says our bodies are designed, we should be able to live to 120 years. Healthy. Healthy 120, not the last 50 years in disease, healthy 120 years is what they're saying. This is what they have been able to determine by the studies of our bodies, scientific, the blood, and all those things. That's what they've determined. Now, ancient men of God, everyone I track through, and I'm talking about after the flood. I'm not talking about before the flood when everybody lived, no matter whether they were holy or unholy, they lived long lives. After the flood, ancient men of God lived an average of 110 to 180 years. Women, too. I'm not talking about just men. I'm talking about people. If you start watching, like Joseph lived 110 years. Moses, 120 years. I think Jacob, 180 years. I mean, it was just normal. You know, these people lived long lives. And they followed dietary practices they learned and passed on from generation to generation. Now, modern Americans, we have been able to push with our science up to 74 years, and we're pretty proud of that. But the problem is most of the people living up to 74 suffer for the last 10 years under diseases. It's not that fun. Even though we've pushed our lifespan up, it's not fun. It's a struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's a hard thing. Now, let me give you an example that even in modern times, back in the 1900s, they discovered the Hunzes, a people that lived in the Himalayan. They were isolated people. They sent medical doctors in from the United States to study them. And in the 1940s, they discovered and proved that those people lived the average lifespan of between 90 and over 120. Some were 140 years old. And the thing that they were astounded with, they couldn't find disease in them. They had no cancers, no diabetes. They lived a life of health. They couldn't find hardly any disease in all the studies they made of them. They couldn't understand how they could possibly live that long and be healthy. So then the only thing they could conclude, and they remember in the 40s, they still didn't understand a lot about science. The best they could figure was clean air, exercise, but one thing they did understand, diet. You know what the people ate then? They ate mostly nuts, fresh vegetables, fruits. Well, I don't know if they had salads, but they ate vegetables. But what kind of, yeah. But they lived, so their meager lifestyles, they lived, you know, so it was a lot of raw, fresh foods and so forth. Nothing of what we would eat today in our culture. Now, in 1949, the reason I put that, in 1949, Pakistan absorbed them. Pulled them into their culture. Immediately, their lifespans dropped to normal. Proving that when they begin eating the foods that everybody else ate, foods where the diet was the issue behind all this. Hear what I'm saying? So because we understand this a little more now, we need to look back at Scripture a couple times here. Now let's think about applying this. Proverbs 3 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Why not? But I like this food. It tastes so good. You know, we got to look at what God says. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, what's that mean? Look at the two key words. First one in verse 8 is, it will be health. Now, the Hebrew word there is Rapha. Notice that, Rapha? You ever heard that term for God? Jehovah Rapha? Many people understand that. It means God our healer. The word means heal or cure or health. And so when it says it will be a cure to your medical problems is what he's saying. Literally, use God's wisdom, fear the Lord, and hear what he says. It'll bring cure to your body. Also, look at the word strength. The word strength comes from a word, it's actually like the word Coca-Cola, a beverage. It'd be like a beverage to you. Moisten, refresh your bones. Again, physical calcium to your bones kind of thing. Liquid calcium to build you up in health. They understood that the bone marrow was an important part of their health even back then. And so they knew what they're saying here. Now look at the next scripture, Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Notice, to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I want you to make sure you understand, this is talking about physical health. It's not talking about just an abstract spiritual statement. He's clearly telling you that's got to do with your physical health. Now that's a different Hebrew word. It means curative or medicine or deliverance or healing or a remedy. Notice, we use remedies. That's all got to do. What he's saying clearly is when you hear and follow the entire wisdom of God in a lifestyle, you will find it's a curative, healthy action upon your body. Everybody understand that? This is very powerful to understand. Look at Exodus 15:26, going back to Israel then. And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Notice it always says that. We've always left it at commands and not understood what the statutes meant. The statutes are saying don't eat the fat. The statutes say eat this kind of meat. That's the statutes. That's the application of the commands. I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Notice again, God's not talking about taking a fairy wand and going, ding, you're healed. He's saying the way I'm healing you is when you listen to my statutes. See how clearly this is connected? The healing has to do with your listening ability and mine. And again, we have Rapha there as the word. Now, Dr. Michael Wargowicz of the Anderson Hospital in Houston, Texas, wrote this. In the last 3 to 4 years, we've found that fruits and vegetables contain a variety of powerful chemicals which interact and bind to chemical carcinogens. Remember, cancer-causing agents, rendering them inactive. What's he saying? Fruits and vegetables. God's creation already stops cancer. Scientists have found it to be true. Some of these chemicals might also interfere with the metabolism of carcinogens, rendering them inactive. Some of these chemicals might interfere with the metabolism of carcinogens in the liver. We talk about cancer of the liver. When you've got it there, you're dead meat. Notice what he's saying. This is why there's been incredible breakthroughs in our culture. There's a man that I saw on TV, and I think I mentioned to you. He came up with a supplement that he uses, and he took 100 cancer patients that had a death sentence upon their life. They were going to die within months. He took them to his medical clinic in California. With those 100, he was already told by the doctors that the radiation wouldn't work, they couldn't stop cancer. He then took calcium and had them consume calcium at a higher level than they used to take. He also gave them a vegetable extract type of thing he put together, which is basically a potent powderized form of vegetables with all the minerals and so forth in it. It's basically grains and vegetables, but at a high potency level. They said basically if you ate 30 pounds of vegetables, which you couldn't do. You would be stuffed and couldn't do it. That would be the value of much vegetables he could give them. By giving them that vegetable supplements, following scripture that talked about fruits and vegetables, and with the calcium, after 6 years, 93 of the 100 lived and are still alive. Only 7 that were cancer, death sentence, died. Now that's, you understand, 93%? That doesn't match anything that doctors hardly get 10% or whatever. They lose most everybody. This man, by stumbling upon biblical principle that God already designed us to eat those foods, bring us health. They proved it scientifically. He's proven it. I saw him on TV talking about it. He's not hiding what he did. He tells you what it's done, and it's out of vegetables and out of barley and so forth, with the outer husk. The stuff where the minerals are is what he's used. He's not found any special secret cancer thing. It was already in front of our faces. But the doctors want some kind of chemical that they can shoot into them for $100,000 a shot to heal. They don't want to just feed you vegetables to help you. But God does. Do you hear the power of this? I want you to understand how impacting this is. This means foods that God created for us to eat are not just healthy to eat, they actually heal. They seek to stop cancer in the body. They seek out and heal. Now that's just blasphemy to a doctor. 90% won't listen to that. 90% will tell you you're nuts and shut up, you're quacks. Because, and it's not because they're ignorant people or don't like you. They have never been taught these things. Understand, the average medical doctor has one semester of one class in health. He doesn't know anything about it. I know more about it than a lot of them do because I've studied more of it in a semester's time than they have. That doesn't make me an expert by any means, does it? But I still know more than they do. I'm wiser than many of my doctors. Why? Because God's words established it. Science is beginning to prove it, and yet medical doctors don't believe most of them in God's word, nor in his truth of what it says when he says, if you follow my ways, I'll bring healing. I want to give you a list, just a quick list, just to kind of go through real quick. God says in Genesis 1:29, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. The key word is it produces and has seed in it. When you know that there's seed in those, then that's good food for you. Now, I gave an example of a lot of different foods mixed in here together of God's approved list, just to let you understand there's a lot of things. Almonds are mentioned. Barley, and I gave you, I'm not going to read it all, but I've given you right where it's at in the scripture even. Beans, beef. It's not the cakes like you think of. It's not like Twinkies and stuff, because again, that's all based on white, but it's cake. They made cakes based on barley or on whatever, but again, it was healthy because it had all the stuff in it. It wasn't stripped like Egyptians did, so be aware of that. Notice though, cheese, cucumbers, onions, leeks, melons, garlic, curds, cottage cheese, figs, fish, fowl, fruit, even wild game, certain wild game. Don't eat bear or anything like that. And I'll give you some examples on this too. Goat's milk, grain, veal, vegetables, grapes, and your favorite, grasshoppers, locusts, and crickets. This is approved food. We need to stop resisting God. Now get out there and get those crickets. Let's get some.
It's a lot of protein.
It has got a protein, it does. Yeah, got to have honey to cover it, right. Got the herbs, any herbs? Honey, lentils, meal, nuts, oil, olives, quail, raisins, salt, sheep, spices, vinegar are all okay. But again, you got to have it in, if you just sat and drank vinegar, it wouldn't be good for you. Remember, you got to have this in the right balance here. Just understand. But those, excuse me, are very clearly defined as good. Now, I want to give you some more examples of meat now. Understand. Also, God has a teaching called clean and unclean. And we're almost done here for today. Well, let me do the blood first, and then I'll do the unclean and unclean. Also, along with the fat, God said, do not eat the blood. Do not eat the blood. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it out on the earth like water. You shall not eat it, that it may go well with you and your children after you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Clearly drain the blood. Many people don't do that. And we've got to be careful when you go to the grocery store. You need to make sure that they've drained the blood out and not mixed it in. Because there are going to be some reasons. Scientists have now long known that blood carries infections and toxins that circulate in the animal's body. African tribes that eat and drink blood suffer with chronic diseases and significantly shortened lifespans. Also, I had another thought there when I was reading that. Also, the man that I talked to you about that did the research for the 100 cancer patients, one of the things he said that got me jumping out of my seat, he said, if you learn anything from me today, and it was a 30-minute program, he said, learn this, all disease is in the blood. And I went, woo, the scripture said don't eat the blood, and I just clicked in my head right away, that was Bible. He said, if you don't get it, he said, cancer, think about it passing. Cancer goes from your brain to your liver. Well, your brain and liver aren't touching, so it can't be passing by organ. It only can be spread by your blood. Your blood carries toxins and diseases and viruses. That's where it all is. If you keep eating the blood of these animals, you are eating all the diseases in these animals. Get that out of there. That will protect you from sicknesses and diseases that are going to destroy you. The more you eat raw meat like that, you're putting in your system the diseases that are there. You've got to be careful and understand. Again, we do it by taste, not by health. But if you look in terms of thinking of food as medicine, think you've got to stop thinking food as pleasure. We can't live a lifestyle of selfish pleasure like the pagans. Remember, that's what we're getting out of. We must think of food as medicine. Food is full of medical things. We artificially make it and make a pill, but they take it and it's the same thing they get naturally in the foods. It's already there. Minerals and vitamins and natural medicine that's in there. You understand, like aspirin, they say, is better for your heart? Do you understand that certain vegetables already have the same thing in it? If you eat vegetables, what?
Garlic.
It's already got it in there. And it, in fact, when you eat it with the food, it's mixed properly. It's more healthy for you than taking aspirin, because separate aspirin is dangerous. But when it's mixed with the other minerals, it's healthy for your system, because God knows how to balance it, because he made your body and made the stuff, and it works. But again, we're not smart enough to understand his wisdom. But what you want to do is follow principles, and you're going to have to decipher on your own what you're going to eat. But if you at least understand the foundations, don't eat fat, no matter what kind, whether it's a sheep, pig, or beef. Don't eat the out fat. That is full. And another way the body helps try to filter your blood, fat is created to suck out of the blood your toxins. Do you know that? Your fat is made and stored a lot of times. One of the issues is to get toxins out of your blood. It's safer in the fat than in your bloodstream. Your body's got a number of factors to try to keep it healthy. But when your body builds fat, one of the reasons is it's trying to keep the toxins out of your system. And that's why that's one of the issues we talked about, where the fat of an animal is so dangerous, it's full of toxins, because that's what your body does. It ciphers that, because you keep filling yourself full of toxins. The body has self-built-in protection, but it gets overwhelmed. That's why you get diseases and sickness. But there's things that it does to try to keep you healthy. It tries to balance your pH in your blood. It tries to get the toxins out of your blood. It tries to filter out through your kidneys. It does a lot of work trying to keep that stuff going. There's a lot of action going on. But certain things get hung up. Your cells, it's even by cellular level. If your cells are getting in trouble, they build up. Arthritis has been proven to be on a cellular level is a problem, because those cells cannot get rid of the waste products in the cell. And as that cell cannot get rid of the waste product, it's like getting constipated. If you understand that, it's better, literally your cell is constipated. And all those cells in that area get constipated, it turns hard. And the harder it is, it causes pain. And you feel arthritis, expansion, and pain from it, because those cells cannot get that waste out of there. Your body has to have the right nutrition and chemicals in its cell to be able to take out the waste. if it's like losing 30% of its energy and it's only living on 70%, it doesn't have enough energy to take out the garbage. It just has to keep doing with the things that are necessary to keep alive. Think about that in houses. You know, people that get overwhelmed, sometimes they don't take out their garbage. They're too busy to try to survive, you know, so their garbage gets stacked up because they're doing other things. When they get time, and they're like, I think of it in business especially, when you're manufacturing, you got a job that has to be done at 5 o'clock, and you're like in printing. Man, we print like crazy when we used to have a printing business till 5 o'clock. We'd have thrown papers and junk everywhere. Our garbage wasn't taken out because we were too busy surviving. Once the job was done and we got everything necessary, then we took the time to take out the garbage. But if you don't have enough energy going into your body, then it can't take out the garbage and the waste stays there. And that causes, on the cellular level, hurt, disease, and problems, because then you can't get the waste out. Toxins build up in your system. That's why they talk about antioxidants, between taking the oxygen out of your system that's excess. Just like things rust in your body, when you get too much oxygen in there and it starts breaking up, it takes out from your cells and from the minerals. It steals oxygen particles and you have oxidized things in your body. You have to take that out. That's garbage that's got to be taken out. That's why they always talk about antioxidants. You've got to get that so that stuff gets out of your system. Again, all these things are related, but the thing that's simple, they're all related to scriptural concept. That's why you don't need to know all the science to understand it. If we just trusted what God said, we would find the health there. But mostly, I have to hear all the science behind it and say, oh yeah, okay, now I believe it. But we don't want to do that. We're running out of time, so let me just kind of pull it to an end here. Clean and unclean. Leviticus 10:10, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. Clean basically means separated to God. Unclean means separated away from God, is the basic idea behind the concept. But if you follow through Scripture, you'll find it's carried through in a lot of application. It covered purity in morals. It covered holiness in spiritual activities. It also covered acting in an ethical manner to your neighbors. All that was called being clean and how you treat your neighbor. On the unclean, it was also brought to the place of death. They were never allowed to touch a dead body because it was unclean. Death brought disease, unclean. Putrefied stuff you weren't to stay away from. That was nasty. A woman who was going through her cycle, she was not to be touched by anybody because they weren't to touch the blood because it carried disease. They didn't have what we have as medical. Aren't you glad, ladies? We have more medical things. So they had to literally keep away from everybody for the days. Lewdness was considered that because it carried with it the filth of immorality. But what really happened? When we practice immorality, we pass on all kinds of diseases. Again, filth related to disease. And also demons, filthy, are considered unclean. If you see it all in that light, it brings death, destruction. Sickness, disease are all connected under God's scriptural concepts. Now, with that application then, Leviticus 11:3, among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs and chewing the cud, that you may eat. These you may eat of all that are in the water, whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. Notice, without fins, without scales, God says don't eat. Lobsters, gone. Shrimp, gone. If you understand it, because they're all full of toxins and disease-carrying stuff. And then, again, America, we never understood of that. I love shrimp. Well, I whistled even. I like it so much. But when you start to understand Scripture, then it changes your opinion. I'm going to read a quick list here. They have taken scientifically, again, to support Scripture. They have a system of toxic. Any number above 75% is non-toxic to your body. Any number below that is dangerous to your body. Clean animals are cloven, hoofed, and cud-chewing. Calf, deer, goat, ox, sheep, are all in that category of different examples. Like a calf, 82% above the 75%. Deer, 98%, very healthy. Goat, 90%. We don't like goat mostly, but Keith does. It's good, healthy for you. ox, 91%, sheep, 94%, all very, very good for your body above the toxic levels. Let me give you examples of dangerous things that God says not to eat, and amazingly, when they scientifically tested them, they know why. Black bear, 59%, way below the 75%, toxic to your system. Camel, 41%. Ugh. Cats, 62%. Guinea pigs, 46%. Man, they'll make you sick. Dogs, 62%. Notice, you know, that's why scripture, we don't want to eat dog, but China and these places eat it, but it's not good for your body. Fox, 58%, very ungood for, you know, very unhealthy. Hamster, I don't want to eat one anyway, 46%. But listen to this, though, one of the worst ones, horse. Horse. And they make, yes, Europe eats it all the time. It is only 39%. That is full of toxins. Worse than a lot of these other things you would think. Even a rat is healthier than a horse. Believe it. Rat's only 55%. Horse, 39%. Can you imagine? We think in terms of yuck. But the thing that surprised me, rabbit. They said, do not eat rabbit. It's only 49%. It's almost as bad as eating a... It's worse than eating a rat for toxics. People like eating rabbits. It's got nothing to do with what you like. So this is talking about the toxic. The poisons inside it are the problem. A chicken is okay. Believe it or not, it's clean. Yeah. Squirrels, 43. Swine, 54. A swine, again, toxic. Again, we eat ham and eggs and bacon and sausage all the time, and it's one of the dangerous ones. In fact, one of the things they found from Egypt, and I know I need to quit because our time's up, but in Egypt, one of the things they found, they checked the toilets of Israelites, and they checked the toilets of Egyptians. Believe it or not, they are excavated and found toilets. Well, obviously, it's not fresh to be a problem. It's dried up, so they can analyze it by computer. The Israelite toilets in Jerusalem that they found were full of pollen and stuff from fresh fruits and vegetables, no parasites, all healthy. They could tell by their diet they were healthy people. The Egyptians, full of parasites and all kinds of bugs and stuff that came from pork. Their whole bodies were full of all kinds of parasites in their system. And even though you cook pork, again, you don't kill the parasites, you kill some of the toxins, but many parasites still get in your system. And they said it was unbelievable, the difference between the health of the Egyptians compared to Israel. And what did Scripture say? That's what I wanted you to see. Scripture said, if you listen to me, you will be healthy. Even from their toilets that scientists and the archaeologists have proved, they were healthy compared to the people around them who did not. They had the chronic diseases all from the food they ate. Again, I can't go through all this stuff again, but if you understand, there's a list of it. The scientists have added to Scripture big time. I mean, I found so many things here that got to do with the Scripture that it's amazing.